Daf Nun Tes Omer Aleph, and we're studying, of course, the Sugya of Honas Dvarim. And if you count down from the top of the page, we're about one third the way down. You see what it says, Uvimitzos al Tonuhu Omar Rav. And what we're talking about now is going to be the case of Onas Ishto. And what we mean by that is not insulting one's wife. Sometimes we're careless about that. And that's going to be a very severe violation. Omer Rav Chinina, Braid Rav Idi, Mai Dechsiv. What does it mean when it says in Vayikra Chaf Hei, Pasuk Yud Zayin V'lo Sonu Ish Es Amiso? Why doesn't it say Ish Es Echav? Or Es Achiv? And if you take a look earlier in the same parsha, it says Al Sonu Ish Es Achiv. Here it says Amiso. This is coming to teach us Am She'itcha b'Torah uv'mitzvos, that this Iser of Onas Dvarim only refers to other Jews who share Amiso, they share the Am of Torah mitzvos. Al Toneu, do not wrong them verbally and cause them anguish. Omer Rav, Yolam Yehei Adam Zohir b'Onas Ishto. Person has to be overly cautious about not saying the wrong things to his wife that might hurt her. And a person lives with his wife on a daily basis in very close intimacy, and therefore it's very shayach that he's careless about this. Shemitoch shedim asa mitzuya. A woman is very sensitive, and she almost is at the verge, if you insult her, at the verge of tears. And we spoke before about the power of the tears of someone who was wronged, onasa krova, meaning the onesh, the punishment for ona, is fast and swift to come. Omar Rebbe Lozar, miyom shenechra beis hamigdash, ninalu shari tefila, even though the gates of prayer have been to some extent closed since the Churban HaBayis. The Beis HaMikdash was the place through which HaTfilos went on high, as we saw in this week's parasha Vayetze, Zeh Shar Elokim, Zeh Shar Shamayim, Vayivka Bamokom. That's where Yaakov Davin, Shenemar Gamki Ezak Vashava Sosam Tfilosi, Yirmiyahu Hanavi in Echa bemoans the fact, wails and woes the fact that when I cry out and ask Hashem, supplicate God for mercy to save me, sasam tfilasi. This pasuk of sasam tfilasi, which Rabbi Lezer interprets to mean that the shari shamayim, the gates of heaven, are closed, not allowing our tefillos to enter. This is the basis for the minhag on Tisha B'Av to remove or put aside the paroches, to symbolize that shari shamayim ninalu, shari tefillah ninalu. But v'afal pisha shari tefillah ninalu, shari dmos lo ninalu. The gates of crying are not locked, and Hashem will hearken to the tears of one who supplicates with a broken heart. Shenemar pasuk in Tehillim, Shima tfilasi Hashem v'shavasi hazina el dimasi al techrash. And what David HaMelech is saying is, hear my prayer, O Hashem. Listen to my outcry. Again, the word outcry here is a reference to the dima. And then, Al-Techrash, you will not be deaf to my tears. Al-Techrash can be understood in two ways. You can say, do not be deaf, or you will not be deaf. But either way, it's referring to a person who pours out his heart to Hashem with tears, and Hashem guarantees that he will accept those prayers. The Omar Rav, Kol HaHolech Batzas Ishto Nofel Begehenem. We'll see that the Gemara is going to qualify this statement, but at this point, if a person is constantly following in the advice, in the counsel of his wife, then that's not going to be good for him. He will ultimately fall to Gehenom. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, Rak lohoya ke'achov asher he'seita oso izevel ishto. In the case of Achav, who was an evil king, he was incited by his wife Izevel, and he was of the most wicked, if not the most wicked king that we ever had, and his wife led him down that path. So we see that the great evil of Achav is in some way attributed to the fact that he followed in the footsteps of his wife. She caused it for him. Rav Papa now is going to ask a kasha on Rav. Omale Rav Papa Labaye, Va Amri Inchi Issesach Gutza Gochin V'Silchosh La. If a person's wife is short, then he should bow, he should bend himself in order to listen carefully to her Eitzah. And again, even though this is Amri Inchi, this is an idiomatic phrase that's common amongst the populace, but nevertheless, Chazal always see in these idiomatic statements a deeper meaning. It's not just, you know, superficial, but it really has a meaning to it. And in fact, the Gemara elsewhere, I'm trying to remember where, just give me a minute, quotes this very same idiomatic phrase, takes it very seriously. Lokash Abaye tries to defend Rav against the onslaught of Rav Papa. Ha b'mili di alma, v'ha b'mili di besa. We should make a dichotomy, a split. When it comes to mili di alma, when it comes to decisions that have to be made vis-a-vis life, then a person shouldn't be led blindly by his wife, but b'mili de besa, she, his wife, is in charge of the household and all the affairs within the house. One should be led by his wife's advice in the household. And you find many wise people who say that when it comes to the household, I listen blindly to my wife. Her advice becomes primary when we're dealing with questions not of world matters, but rather of house matters, household matters. Her judgment in this area, that's her area of expertise, and we should follow her advice, and that's going to bring peace into the home. So this is a recipe for Shalom Bayis. Lishnach Rina, we have another version of the very same answer of Abaye to Rav Papa. He says, "Ha b'mili d'shmaya v'ha b'mili d'alma." When it comes to mili d'shmaya, that's spiritual matters that refer to the heavens, to prayer, to mitzvahs, to Torah study, then we should not be led astray. But b'mili d'alma, when it comes to worldly matters, mundane matters, we should be led by the women folk, our wives. Omar, Rav Chizkiah kol ha'sha'ar minalu chutz mishari ona. All the gates are closed, the gates of prayer, except for the gates for someone who was wronged and anguished by a verbal abuse. And shenemar, we can derive this from the pasuk of Hine Hashem nitzav al chomas anoch ubiyado anoch. And this is something that we've seen in the past. There's some sort of an anach. It's a kli that's used to make sure that the kosel, the choma, is straight. And Hashem, in His straightness, meets out justice and punishment to retribution against someone who wrongs his fellow man. The Sma, the Sefer Mir Seinayim in Choshen Mishra Reish Chav Ches, says that the Limud is from the fact that Hashem is Nitzav Halachoma, that Hashem is standing over the Choma. Choma, I guess you translate as a wall. Hainu if you want to see what's going on in the city, you climb up to the top of this wall, this giant wall, and nobody could hide from you. Everything is exposed in front of you. So too, any act of honah is exposed in front of Hashem's eye. There's nothing concealed from Hashem's eye. And the Maharaj Shif points out that kol ashi'orim ninalu, we're talking about after the Churban HaBayis. And the strange thing is that this pasuk, which Gemara is invoking as a proof, which is a recitation of Amos, he was actually before the Churban HaBayis, at the time of Yeravan ben Yoash, the king of Israel. So that's a little bit of a pella. Okay, now we spoke about this Anach in previous discussions. The builders use this kind of a... it's called a plumb line, which is a rope that's weighted with lead at its head to determine a straight line from an elevation down to the ground, because the force of gravity will pull this lead weight straight down, and the line of the rope will really describe a straight line. And this is a reference, as we said before, to the strict attribute of divine justice, which will be meted out against those who wrong others with onas devarim. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Hakol bidei shaliach, Os nifra bidei shaliach. When God meets out punishment, it's through an angel. Chutz mi onah. But when it comes to onah, it is direct from Hashem. Shenemar ubiyado anach. As the pasuk in Amos says that God is holding on to this utensil in his hand. He's not going to give it over to a shaliach. Rabbi Avo, Shlosha ena paragod ninal bifneim. This concept of a paragod is a reference to some sort of a machitza partition that separates between the Shechina and the Tzvos Lamaila, the higher celestial angels. And in three cases, the paragod is absolutely removed. The curtain doesn't close, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking directly at these three categories of sinners. He's not, his view, so to speak, is not blocked by this paragod. He sees them and punishes them. Who are these three categories of sinners? Ona, Gezel, Ve'avodah Zarah. Ona, Dechsiv, Ubiyado, Anach. Gezel the Siv Chamos Vashod Yishma Ba Alpanai Tamid. So here we're talking about some sort of thievery, and the actions of those robbers are in front of Hashem's eyes. There's nothing concealed, no barriers that separate them. And Avodah Zarah the Siv Ha'am HaMachisimosi Alpanai Tamid. Yishai says that those who anger me through their idol worship will be right in front of my eyes. They'll provoke my anger, because alponai tamid, they are continually in my face. I see them directly. And the pasuk here goes on to enumerate different types of idol worship, but it's clear that the divine anger and wrath against the Obed Avodah Zarah is something that stands in front of Hashem's eyes without any sort of partition that separates. A person has to be very careful not to dip below the poverty line. You know, should have a very good accountant or some sort of very tight budget, because when a person doesn't have the money to spend to bring home for bread and provide food for his family, that's going to generate the opposite of shalom bayis. That's going to generate a great deal of strife in the home. Shenemar, we see this in a pasuk in Tehillim, Hasam Gvulech Shalom Chelev Chitim Yaspiech. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu satiates a person with chitim, with wheat for bread, and we're talking about Chelev Chitim, the best, the Meshubachim, then is Bebeso Hasam Gvulech Shalom Yishar Hashalom, peace will reign in the house, will reverberate in the house. Omer HaPapa Hayu Diamri Inshi, once again, it's reflected by an idiomatic phrase. And what is that phrase? Kimishalom, Kimishlam, Sare Mikada. Now, Sare is a reference to barley, to Sa'orim. And Kada, of course, is the utensil that holds on to the barley. And when the barley in this container is finished, that's the word mishlam, it's gone, then nakish v'asi tigra v'beise. Quarrel and strife begins to knock at the door, to reverberate throughout the house. That's the pressure that's going to be engendered by the lack of siorim, of barley. Omer Rav Chanina, Bar Popolyonye Adam Zar Bitfua Bitov Beso, a person again has to be very concerned and careful that there's adequate food, grains in his house. Shalom Nikri Yisrael Dalim El Aliske Tfua, that the Jewish people are considered impoverished because of the lack of grains. Shenemar, Pasuk says in Shota Vahoya, Im Zara Yisrael. And it came to pass when Israel had sown its seeds, and then it says v'olav midjan v'amolik u'bnei kedem v'olav olav. And now we're talking about the midjan and amolekim coming and encamping against us in a military campaign against the Jewish nation. Uksiv, and then the next pasuk it says v'yachnu aleihem, and they encamped against them, Vayashkisu es Yevul Haaretz ad Boach HaAza, and then these nations destroyed the produce of the land, Velo Yashiru Michya Yisrael, and there was no sustenance, there was no food left for the people of Israel. Uksiv, and then the pasuk says, Vayidal Yisrael Mi'od Mipnei Midjan. Israel was poverty stricken by a result of Midyan, because of Midyan. That's the dalus, that's a result of the lack of tefuah. And now that we mentioned earlier about a person being meticulous and careful not to insult his wife, the Gemara says a very famous statement of Rabbi Chelmo, Li'olam yei adam zoyer b'chvod ishto, Shein bracha mitzuyah b'tov beiso shel adam elo b'shvil ishto, Shenemar uli Avraham heitiv bavura. I gave a shiur on Parshas Lech Lecha based on this statement of Rabbi Chalmo. Ayin Shom, you can see it on, hear it on the YU the site. And basically, the blessing that is bestowed by God into a person's home is only because of his wife, and that's what Avram declares. Uli Avraham heitiv bavura. That God is good, in this case through the medium of Paro, treating Avram well, bestowing upon Avram all those gifts on account of Sarah. This is how Rav instructed the people of Mechoza. Okiru l'nashayu, you should respect your wives, honor your wives. Ki echi detis asru, so that you'll become wealthy. And here I have a note in the name of the Ein Yaakov. He says that what Rava has in mind here, that's what he instructed the people of Mechoza, is that the Shefa, all the bestowed goodness and blessings on the house, they all come as a result or on account of the wife. And therefore, a person should always respect his wife with a tremendous sense of gratitude, because of her share contributing in the Horadas Hashem, bringing down the goodness from Shamayim. And as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring them wealth because of that tremendous mutual respect that they have one for another. Tanan Hasam, the Gemara now brings a story, a very, very famous Agadita about Tanur Shalachnoi. This is about a certain kind of an oven, and the question is whether the oven is Tomei, is it Mekabel Tuma or not? And it all really depends upon the status of the oven. Is it called earthenware, which is otherwise known as a clay adama? And this particular tanur was the subject of a very, very severe controversy, a debate, as to whether or not this oven has the status of earthenware, which means that earthenware is usually hardened in a furnace as a single piece, then it's cemented to the ground, insulated with plaster so it'll retain its heat, and that is the classical oven that's described in Kalim Perek Hay, that's Mekabel Tuma. The oven of this particular discussion that we're going to have now is different in one particular but important respect, and that is it was composed of different sections, chuyos, matbeos, agulos, micheres, and these sections were held together by some sort of a cement, which was sand-based. And Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that since that cement that holds together the various chuyos, the different sections, was never actually baked in the oven, therefore the oven does not have a status of a classical earthenware that's Mekabel Tuma. This is a Kli Adama that's unbaked, and since it's unbaked, it was never hardened in that sense, it therefore is not Mekabel Tuma. That was the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So let's read it inside. Tanan Hasam, there's a Mishnah in the fifth parak of Kelim, Chatocho Chulios. This oven was made from various sections, and Vinosan Chol, sand, was placed Bein Chulia Lechulia in order to attach one section to another. Rabbi Eliezer Mitayer V'Chachom Mitamim. So that Rabbi Eliezer holds that this tanur does not have a din of earthenware of a kli cheres. It has a din of what's called kli glolim or kli adama she'ena mekablim tuma. And again, because a kli cheres and earthenware was baked in the oven, and here the chulias were not baked in the oven. They are the essential part of the oven because they keep together all the sections of the oven, all the chulios. But the Chachamim say that, okay, the chulios themselves are made of cheres, they're baked in the oven, that's earthenware, that's Mekabel Tuma, and who cares about the chol, about the sand, between the chulios? That's not going to be mafkia, the shem kli cheres, because that cement, that layer of cement that's placed between the chulios in order to be madbik, in order to connect the chulios, that's secondary. And the primary element of this tanur, say the Chachamim, is the kli cheres element, because all the sections are made of kli cheres and are baked in the oven. And here we turn to Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis. Vizeo, and this famous or infamous oven is the Tanur Shel Achnoi. Why is it called the Tanur Shel Achnoi? Achnoi is kind of a serpent. And the answer is, says the Gemara, "My Achnoi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Shehikifu Dvarim Keachna Zo." That the Chachamim encircled Rabbi Eliezer and attacked him with all sorts of questions and objections, like a serpent that curls up its body into a kind of a circle. In fact, here it says in the name of Tosus that Znovo Betoch Piv, it, you know, the tail already is back into its mouth. That's how circular it is. so that this snake, which is obviously very dangerous, is a paradigm here, is a simile for the way the Chachamim surrounded Rabbi Eliezer and attacked him, not physically, of course, but through tshuvos, through questions and objections, vitim'u, and they declared that this oven is susceptible to tumah. The word for a snake, a serpent going around is called coiled, and to surround someone like a coiled snake, that's the mashal here that the Tanur Shel Achnoi, the name indicates. Tana, we learned in the Brayso of the Oso Ayom, on that very day of the debate between the Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer, Heishiv Rabbi Eliezer called Tshuva Sheba Olam Velo Kiblu Heimenu. Although the Chachamim attacked him, he countered with a defense against all their arguments. But the Chachamim never accepted his counter arguments in defense. Omar Lahem, Rabbi Eliezer says, "In Alocha Kamosi, I'm going to prove that up in Shamayim in heaven they paskin like me, and miracles are going to happen." Charuv Zeyochich, he points to a cherub tree. And he says it's going to be completely uprooted from its place. Nekar Acharuv Mimkomo. Mea Ama. And the tree was completely uprooted miraculously, and it flew 100 Ama. That's a real serious distance. Amri Law, some say Arba Mea Sama, 400 Amas. Amru Law, the Chachom are not impressed. Ein Mevim Raya Min Acharuv. We don't bring proofs from a cherub tree. Chazar V'yomalem, Rabbi Lezer now says, in Aloch Kimosi, I'm going to invoke another miraculous episode, Amas Mayim Yochichu. The flow of the water is going to bring their proof. And we're talking about a canal that, of course, flows forward. And as a result of Rabbi Eliezer's declaration, is Chazru Amas Mayim Lachoreim, the water in the canal flowed backwards instead of forwards, in the opposite direction that normally it would flow. Omulo Lachachom is still not impressed. Amevim Rayim Amas Mayim. Chazav Yomalem Imalocha Kamosi, Kosli Beis HaMedrash Yochichu. Let the walls of the Beis Medrash prove it. And immediately, Hitu Kosli Beis HaMedrash Lipol, the walls of the Beis HaMedrash started moving in and endangering the lives, threatening to collapse over the people. Gar Bahem Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua here represents the Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer, and he says to the Kosel, you know, stop, and he rebukes the walls of the Beis Medrash, and Omar Lahem, and he said to the walls, if there's a debate here, a controversy between the Chachom, what are you sticking your nose in here? You know, what business do you have in getting involved? It's not your business. And therefore, lo naflu, but lo zakfu. The Ksalim did not fall in, because of Rabbi Yeshua's request, but they didn't straighten themselves out. Why? It's kind of compromise. And to this very day, they continue to be like the Tower of Pisa. You know, they are leaning in one direction. And this is an everlasting, in a sense, miracle. The Taras Chaim writes, why did Rabbi Eliezer choose, in order to establish his rightful claim, a charuv and an amas mayim and kosle beis hamedrash? Why these three things? And he writes that matsanu b'Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Remember Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, when he runs away from the Romans, he goes into a cave, and he sits there for 7 years, and then another 7 years. So from Shamayim, they sent him charuvim trees, and also a mayan mayan, so he could live and survive by eating the cherubs and the charuvim, and also drinking the water. So the Chachom of that generation, when they would build a base medrash, they would build it and erect it right near a water canal and a charub tree, an eitz charuv, because they knew that that would maintain the base medrash. That would be makayim, the base medrash. Like we saw this, these different miracles that were makayim Rav Shimon bar Yochai in the Ma'ara. But Rabbi Eliezer, his intention was to state that since they don't, the Chacham don't accept his opinion, which is absolutely true, then we might as well shut down the Beis Medrash. And therefore the Charuv was Netak Bimkomo. We don't need the Charuv anymore because there's no need to sustain the Beis Medrash. We don't need the Emes Mayim. It's going to flow in the opposite direction. And the Chacham is basically saying that you can't bring any proof from the Akiras Charuv, because you know what, we can always walk over the 100 Amos and take the fruits off the Charuv and sustain ourselves. And even when the water went the opposite direction, the Chacham said that's not a proof either. We can always go in the opposite direction and take the water. When the coastline Beis HaMedrash started falling, that there's no longer a need for anything. Then Gar Bahem Rabbi Yeshua, because at this point the Talmidim would not be able to study Torah, the Beis Medrash would completely destroy it. And they say in the name of the Vilna Gaon that the Torah is Niknes B'Sholosh Midos. One is Histapkus B'Muot, the other is Anova, the third is Shkida, which is Harvan, you know, being a Masmin. Rabbi Lezer wanted to prove to the Chachamim that he has all these three Milus, these three attributes. So he quotes the Charuv, which is Histapkus B'Muot. Then he quotes the Emes Mayim, and that's going to prove the Midah of Anova. Mayim is always called Anova, goes from high place down to the low place. And he points out that his Shkida in Torah study is like the Kosle Beis HaMedrash, the walls of the Beis HaMedrash. In any event, the Chachamim rebuffed him. Chazar v'yomalem, Rabbi Eliezer now declares him Alocha Kemosi min Hashemayim Yochichu. He invokes a baskol, a heavenly voice. Yotzav baskol v'yomra Malachem Eitzel Rabbi Eliezer Shalocha Kemosi b'chol mokom. Why bother debating and shepherding with Rabbi Eliezer? The halacha is like him wherever he says so. Omen Rabbi Yeshua Val Raglov, one of the most dramatic and famous statements in all of Shas. The Omar of Yeshua declares, Lo Bashamayim Hi, we do not determine the Torah by a heavenly voice. My Lo Bashamayim Omar of Yirmiya, Shekvar Nitna Torah Me'ar Sinai. The Torah was given to the Chachmei Yisrael. They're authorized to interpret the Torah. The Einon HaMashkichim V'Baskol, we don't pay any attention to a heavenly voice. And we paskin halacha according to the rules of halacha. And here, like for example, we have halacha like Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel with a rov against Beis Shammai. But perhaps we can paskin like Beis Shammai because they are Charif Yoser, and the Baskol in Masechet Yevamos is able to establish that halacha is like Beis Hillel. But barring that very exceptional case, we don't pay any attention to a Baskol. But we paskin based on the fact that the Chachamim here reject the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer and Halacha Kamo Chachamim. That's how we paskin. The Yushalmi wants to know, did Rabbi Eliezer not know? Is he unaware of the Halacha of Achir Rabim Lahatos, that the majority rules? And the answer is, says the Yushalmi, the Kepeda of Rabbi Eliezer was that, as we'll soon see, they burnt the Taros in his presence. And he understood that the Chachamim were doing this to anger him. Perhaps there's also an element here of Eretz Yisrael that comes into the fore, because Rabbi Eliezer was choshesh a lot about the Tara of Eretz Yisrael, the Taros of Eretz Yisrael, that it shouldn't be burnt b'chinam in vain. And Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon at the beginning of Brachos writes that b'shnei ofanim, when the Baskol says that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, let's understand the Baskol. How can the Baskol undermine the halacha of Achir Rabim Lahatos? And the answer is either that the Bas Kol never stated, never declared that halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer in this case, but rather halacha in general is like Rabbi Eliezer, with the exception of this case where the Rov paskins against him, or alternatively, this was a challenge that Shamayim was presenting to the Chachamim. Will they be influenced by the Bas Kol to undermine the normal principle, the universal rule of Achirav Lahata? So the Chachamim withstood the test and they were not impressed by the Bas Kol. Ashkeche Rabbi Nosson Lelio. Rabbi Nosson found or came across, encountered Eliyahu Hanavi. Amalei Rabbi Nosson turned to Eliyahu. He says, "My Amar Kush Brichu Ba'ishaita. What was Hashem busy with up in Shamayim at that moment, at that hour when there was this great debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, and when the halacha was finally decided like the Chachamim?" Amalei Eliyahu responded, "Kachayich." HaKadosh Baruch Hu was laughing. The Omar, and he declared, "Nitzchuni Bonai, Nitzchuni Bonai," which means that my children have prevailed over me. Now, what that means is, according to Sefer HaChinuch, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees that it is the authorities of Beis Din, of the Chachmei Yisrael, of human authorities, if they are guided by the laws or the rules or the guidelines that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai, they will make their decision, and that decision will stand even in the few cases where they made an error. And the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this is because no two people think exactly alike. They're always going to be halachic, various halachic interpretations, and there's always the danger of creating different communities of what is going to do. So to avoid that situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed the responsibility for deciding halacha into the hands of Chazal of each generation. And it's true that human beings are mortal, and occasionally they will err, but that's by far less detrimental than, you know, having Chachmei Yisrael have no authority to decide on halachic issues. So in this case of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and their machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer represents the minority view, the mute. He happens to be correct, but that's irrelevant because Rabbi Yeshua and the Chazal did not grasp the depth of Rabbi Eliezer's understanding and his argument. And therefore, even after the Bas Kol supported the position of Rabbi Eliezer, they, the Chachamim, rejected that position, and that's because Achrei Rabim Lahatos. So we have to use Hashem's own guidelines to enforce a decision, even if it's mistaken. And that's what it means. They prevailed over Hashem. Hashem therefore laughed, so to speak, as if to say, they used my own principle and my own Torah to prevail over me and to prevail over the truth. But nevertheless, their mistaken decision will stand for the case of the greater good. So understands the Sefer HaChinuch. Omru b'yoso yom, they declared that on that day of the great machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim as to whether or not this oven was tomei, susceptible to tumah or not, the machlokas was nogea l'maisa, and a case happened where on this very tanur, a sheretz, a dead creeping animal, fell into the tanur. It was in the airspace of the tanur, with the tanur that was made of these various parts and segments. And after that happened, nagu macholim shel truma torah v'tamur. After the sheretz fell into the airspace of the tanur, then truma, pure truma, fell into the tanur. Rabbi Eliezer said that everything is tar. The Chachamim said everything is tamei. It's at that point the Chachamim made a demonstration, a public demonstration, a view called Tara Shetir Rabbi Eliezer. They went back into history in all the cases where Rabbi Eliezer paskined that the taros are tahor, sarfum be'esh. and they lit them in a flame. V'nimnu olav uberchuhu. Now, obviously, what's going on here, again, we haven't translated every single word yet, because I'm waiting for a little bit of a shock here, that the Chachomim would have collected all the things that Rabbi Eliezer declared tar, and they burnt these foods that were prepared in the oven, but that's not the worst of it. But rather, they voted against him to excommunicate him. And apparently, why was Rabbi Eliezer penalized? Why was he condemned? And the answer is because he wouldn't budge. He rigidly stuck to his opinion, even after the Chazal had decided that he was wrong. And Afri Rabin Lahatos. And if you look at a Sefer called Doris Rishonim, you'll see that he explains why the events that took place led to the excommunication of Rabbi Eliezer. And that's called Nidui. The Ramban writes that the Chachomim Hichrimu es Rabbi Eliezer, and the proof is because we're going to soon see that Rabbi Eliezer took off his shoes. With regard to a Nidui situation, the Gemara Mabukot goes back and forth whether or not the Menuda is obligated to take off his shoes to be Choleis Min Olam. The Gemara comes to no definite conclusion. And the Ramban says, why did the Gemara conclude based on Rabbi Eliezer who took off his shoes? And the answer is because Rabbi Eliezer's status was not that of a Menuda, but that of a Muhram. And a Muhram has a different status. The Brisa later on is going to say that Rabbi Eliezer sat on the karka like an ovel, which is similar to the halach and avelus of Kfiyas Hamita, and that halach of Kfiyas Hamita does not apply, says the Rabban, in the case of Menuda. Later on, Rabbi Eliezer rips his garments, and that again proves that he's not a Menuda, because a Menuda doesn't rip his garments, but rather he is a Muhram, which means he's in Cherem. So we see that the Chumrah here is that much greater than a Menuda. He is in Cherem, and that engenders all sorts of special Yisurim that go beyond those Nihugim that apply to a Menuda. The Ramban quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that after this Maisa, the Chachamim never came to study Torah from Rabbi Eliezer. In the case of a Menuda, the Gemara says in Oikotin that he studies Torah and others can study Torah with him. And therefore, once again, says the Rabban, we see clearly that Rabbi Eliezer's status was that of a Muhram. He was actually in Cherem. And here the Rabban says, I don't understand. Why would they put him in Cherem? Why wouldn't Nidui be sufficient? And he answers that because he refused to change his mind and rescind, he stuck to his guns, insisting that he was right, even though he brought proofs from the Charuv and the Emes Mayim and the Kosli Beis HaMedrash, it seemed to the Chachamim that Rabbi Eliezer was being mezalzel in the Chachamim. He was being machzik machlokes, and that's even more severe than the general punishment of a Nidui. He deserves a more severe punishment, that of Cherem. This was the Chachamim's opinion. And it's also possible that the Chachamim said what they heard from their Rabbosim, from their Rabbonim. Rabbi Lazar was saying what he thought on his own, and that's a very severe kind of position that Rabbi Eliezer was maintaining. And the Ramban concludes by saying that if this had happened during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when it stood, Rabbi Eliezer would be a Mora Halacha Kidvarav Neged Chachamim. He would be contravening the ruling handed down by the Chachamim, and his status would be that of a Zokei Mamre. Whoa, that's a very severe statement of the Ramban to explain why the Chachamim put Rabbi Eliezer into Cherem. And then the Chachamim made the following statement. Mi yelech v'yodiyuhu. Who's going to notify Rabbi Eliezer that he's a menudo, or according to Rabban, he's a muhram. Omlehem, Rabbi Akiva offers his services. Ani Elech, Algo, Shemi Elech, Onam, She'eno Hogun, Viodio. I don't want someone who's not on the highest level to notify him, because Vidimsa Machavis Kololam Kulo, he'll be so makpid that maybe he'll bring about the destruction of the entire earth. Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud that was Chaviv Olav Bioser. He's very beloved in the eyes of Rabbi Eliezer, his Rebbe. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva knew that he would be able to be Mephias, his Rebbe, in such a way that Lo Yanishenu, that his Rebbe would not punish him, meaning Rabbi Akiva. And the Radal says in his commentary on Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, that even though Rabbi Akiva felt that he was the right man for the job, he was punished. Because at the time that Rabbi Eliezer died, it says, Nichnasu Rabbi Akiva v'chaver of Levakro, and that's when Bishel or Rabbi Eliezer shemisasar v'kevet yekosha mishal chavero. That Rabbi Akiva would die the most difficult death of them all. In any event, also ma also Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says lavash shchorim v'nisatev shchorim. He dressed up in black as a siman of havelus and tsar. The yosham lefonav, he sat in front of his Rebbe Rabbi Eliezer berichuk arba amos, because if Rabbi Eliezer is in Cherem, he's excommunicated, he can't sit within 4 amos. Omelo Rabbi Eliezer, Akiva, ma yom yomayim, why are you sitting 4 amos away from me? Something that you never did. Omele, Rabbi kimdumali, shechaverim bedelim mimcha. He says it in a very edel way. He says, it seems to me that your colleagues are staying away from you. At that point, Rabbi Eliezer got the hint, and he understood that he was being put into cherem. Is afhu korab gadov, just as Rabbi Akiva had pravid avelus, so too Rabbi Eliezer rips his garments like the din of a muhram. Chalitz minolav, he takes off his shoes. Mishmat v'yoshev al gavi karka, he got off his chair and he sat on the karka. Zolgu einov demos, and he started crying. And as a result, Laka ha'olam shlish b'zeisim, shlish b'chitim, shlish b'sorim, v'yesh omrim af botzek, shebi'idei isha tofach. As a result of the tears, and this again connects us back to Amnas, Dvarim, and the tears of one who was wrong, this had a tremendous negative impact on the entire world. Laka ha'olam, the world was smitten. A third of the world's alis, a third of its wheat, a third of its barley became ruined, and some even say that the dough that was already in a woman's hands became spoiled. Tana, we have a brisa. Ach gadol hoya v'yosayom. There was a tremendous blow that happened on that very day. Shemakomokum shenosem bo'enov, Rabbi Eliezer Nisraf, any place which Rabbi Eliezer set his eyes on went up in flames. V'Avram Gamliel, Hayabav Esfina, Avram Gamliel, the Nasi was coming in a boat. Omad Olav Nachshol Letabo, and some sort of a very high wave threatened to drown him. Omar, Rabbi Gamliel already figured it out. Kimidunali she'enze ela b'shvil Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. It must be because of Rabbi Eliezer. Omer al raglav, the Omer of Gamliel stood and he said, Ribono shel olam goli v'yadu lefanecha shelo lechvodi asisi. It's very interesting that we now find out that Rabbi Gamliel was directly involved as the Nasi, the head of this cherem on Rabbi Eliezer. I didn't do it for my own honor, lolichvod beis abba asisi, not for the honor of my father, elichvod chabah, for your honor, shall yirbu machlokes bistro, which is exactly the language that the Gemara uses in Sanhedrin for a zaken mamre, to avoid disputes in Israel. Because from Gamliel realized that he had to make an example and to deter other people from continuing to reject the majority opinion. Noch hayom mizapo. As a result, the sea subsided from its raging. The Gemara tells us about another implication or impact of Rabbi Eliezer's cherem. Ima Shalom debesu the Rabbi Eliezer, the wife of Rabbi Eliezer. Ima Shalom was her name. Achte the Rabbi Gamliel, after she was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel were brothers-in-law. Me'ahu Maisa Ve'elah, from the time of the cherem and onwards, lo hava shavkale Rabbi Eliezer lemeipal al ape. She would never allow her husband Rabbi Eliezer to fall tachnun on his face with a supplication, because she was afraid that maybe he would cry out to Hashem, and as a result, her brother, meaning Rabbi Gamliel the Nasi, would be harmed. Again, we'll soon see the Ritva's Kasha here on this Gemara. But before we get to that, on one particular occasion, Ahu Yoma Reisha Yarchon Ava was Rosh Chodesh, the Iflach La Bein Molei L'Chaser, she didn't realize that it was Rosh Chodesh. And Ika Di Amri Asa Anya V'Oni Abava, others say that she was distracted because an Oni came to the door. And Rabbi Eliezer was about to recite Tachnun. Afika Le Rifta, she stretches out her arm to give bread to the Oni. Ashkeche De Nafal Ape, she finds Rabbi Eliezer is falling Tachnun. Now, what does it mean, Ichlef La Bein Molei L'Chaser? She confused a full moon with a Chaser, an incomplete moon. Right, we have a chaser which is 29 days and a moli which is 30 days. Ima Shalom thought that the month that just passed was a chaser. The Rosh Chodesh would now be on day 30. But she didn't pay attention to her husband's prayers on that day. She thought it was Rosh Chodesh and he would not say Tachlin. But in fact, the month was a moli. So Rosh Chodesh fell not on day 30 but on day 31. So on day 30 he was able to recite Tachlin. It wasn't Rosh Chodesh. She thought it was Rosh Chodesh because she thought it was a chaser. In any event, as a result of the fact that Rabbi Eliezer, unbeknown to his wife Ima Shalom, fell tachnun, therefore, when she finds out, she goes over to him and says, "Kum katlis liochi, get up, stand up from your tachnun because you're killing my brother." And Adahachi Nafak Shipura Mibes Rabbi Gamliel de Shachiv. In the meantime, the word got out from the house of Rabbi Gamliel that he had died. Omar Allah, Rabbi Lassa said to his wife, Mino Yadas, how did you know that Rabbi Gamliel died? Omar Le, Kach Mekublani Mibes Avi Abba, Kol Asharim Min Olim, Chutz Mishare Ono. That all the gates are closed, are locked, except for the gates of Onah. Meaning that since you, Rabbi Eliezer, were wronged, and you were moved to tears as a result of the Onah that you suffered, the anguish that you suffered, therefore your supplication goes straight into Hashem, and the punishment will be swift and immediate. And this Gemara is deriving its conclusion apparently from a pasuk in Tehillim, and that's why she says Kach Mekublani Mibeis Avi Abba, meaning from the house of my grandfather. That's Melech David, and that is Tehillim. May recall on Dafnun Tesam and Aleph, Afal Pi Sheshari Tfila Ninalu Sharit Mos Lonin Shenemar Poskin Tilim Shima Tfilasi Hashem Shavasi Azin Al Dimasi Al Techrash, which is a reference to someone who suffered Onah. And I had mentioned earlier that there was a Kasha here from the Ritva, and let's see if we can formulate his question. He wants to know, how did Rabbi Eliezer's wife, Ima Ima Shalom, how did she convince herself that she could prevent her husband, Rabbi Eliezer, from reciting Tachnun? Wouldn't she have to supervise him 24/7? And therefore, the Ritva concludes that there's something called a truly effective Tachnun, and that's the Tachnun that's recited directly after Shmoneh Esrei, without any hefsek. And she just had to supervise to make sure that she would interrupt him after he concluded Shmoneh Esrei, so he shouldn't attach his Tachnun immediately after Shmoneh Esrei, and therefore wouldn't be so powerful. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, by the way, on Samaches, concludes that the Hataras Nidui vis-a-vis Rabbi Eliezer took place posthumously, and the Tiferes Yisrael in Sanhedrin, in Kalim, wants to understand why did they wait until after Rabbi Eliezer died to be Matir? And why didn't Rabbi Eliezer himself be mavakesh that during his life they should be matir, the cherem, the nidui? And the Tiferes Yisrael gives an answer based on the story that we just learned, that immediately after this whole story, or at some time subsequently, Ram Gamliel, the Nasi, died. Now, the Gemara says in Moikotin, Ha-Menude Le-Nasi, Menude Le-Chol Yisrael, U-Me-Acher Va-Nasi Mes, Lo-Hoy-Yuchom La-Hater San-Nidui. He says that right after this Nidui, Ram Gamliel died. And without Ram Gamliel, it would be impossible to be Mater the Nidui. That's a technical requirement, because the Nidui was initiated by the Nasi, and he has a chelik. He, so to speak, is the bialim of the Nidui. There's no Atar without him. However, in Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya Shin Lamedalit, it says that when the Menadeh dies, then three other people can be Mater the Nidui. But the exception to that rule is the Nasi. How were they able then to be Matir the Nidui after the death of Rabbi Eliezer himself? And the answer is that the whole purpose of the Nidui was Shalo Yiguru Achrov Lifso Kamoso, that he should have no impact on others to accept his view. Once he died, there was no longer Chashash, and therefore Bezdin could be Mavatil that which was instituted by the earlier Bezdin. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here.